We're in Ephesians chapter 1. We're in the verses 18 through 23. And in this chapter, we find Paul that he prays for the Ephesians. And he prays that they would know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has a desire as an apostle, as a teacher, that his fellow saints are to increase in the wisdom and revelation. And revelation and wisdom will bring about a more complete knowledge of Jesus in our lives. Our Lord wants us to know him. That's why we have the scriptures. And he wants us to know his ways, that they're not to be a mystery to us. But all of us, living in this flesh, and I'm speaking of myself here, I can get carnal in my views in an instant. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I can go from being spiritual Pastor Don to carnal Don. And I can be very selfish in a moment. And it doesn't take any effort. Let me give you an example. A while back, we got stimulus checks from the government. And I took and received my check. And I can be against giveaway programs. I can look upon giveaway programs as the government trying to buy our votes. But when Lori and I received our stimulus check, I cashed it right away. I have a good friend, a good pastor friend, who sent his stimulus check back to the government. And he said, "I don't want anything from this current administration, so keep your money." Man, I thought that's a brave and good decision, but I cash my check. And I try to be a good steward of the monies that God has put in my hand. And my thoughts go along the line of, if our government wants to give away money, count me in. But my Christian friend said, they can't buy my approval. He said, I vote the way I want to vote and keep their money. And he took a stand on an issue that I didn't even give thought to. Maybe I should have given thought to that. And I have friends with moral convictions. And y'all are some of them. Not all of you, but most of you. Being righteous and being a man of God is something we are in private. My stepfather, he was a good Christian man. And I grew to love this man. And come April 15th, he would always send in extra money to the government. And his thinking was, perhaps I've overlooked something and I owe the government, so I'll send in a little extra. Not me. I take every deduction available. My feeling is, my government wastes millions. Why give them extra? And recently, in our county up in Tennessee, Lincoln County, they proposed hearings on a property increase in taxes. I resisted that increase. I attended the meetings that they had, but they still increased our property tax. But I pay grudgingly, but I pay. My feelings is our government needs to live on a budget. I have to live on a budget. Why don't they have to live on a budget? But let's jump into Ephesians 1, verse 18. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul, he writes, and he says, I want you to understand. And he writes to the Ephesians. He says, be enlightened. Don't look at everything in a carnal way, but in the hope of God's calling upon your life. In my efforts to be a good steward of God-given monies, I need to realize the riches of my inheritance from my Lord. I need to give an account in my heart to my blessings from the Lord. We need to appreciate God's goodness to us. I need to get my eyes and thoughts upon his greatness, of his power towards me, and we all need to do this. We need to learn to look upon our life through our heart. You know how the heart doesn't measure things it believes or doesn't believe. And it's the seat of our being. Our heart has 20/20 vision. Being the core of our beings, we need to learn to listen to our hearts. So how do we believe? We believe from the heart. I don't need to get caught up into circumstances of such things as bad government or my own self-centered thoughts and ideas, but I can be quick to judge my government, forsaking to pray for our leaders, but rather finding myself criticizing our leaders. To be honest, when the Israeli war broke out against Hamas, I was surprised that our president came out and supported Israel. It surprised me. Paul will draw our attention to the hope of his calling in our lives. I should just say, I should realize that. We all need to understand the beauty of God's calling upon our life. What lies in store for us? What has God planned for us? What are his motives in bringing us through tribulation and trials? Well, he wants us to mature in him. We have a glorious call upon our lives. And that begins when he gave us eternal life. We Christians are called more to him than we are called to the daily grind of everyday life. We can get so caught up in living life day to day that we miss out on our Lord. Learn to be content. You ever read that verse, be content in all things? Be content where God has you. That's the beauty of walking with the Lord. Just appreciate where you are with the Lord and his blessings. God's provisions are sufficient for each and every one of us. I tend to always be thinking, and I'm an old man, of my financial status. And I can fail to realize God's provision when I begin to think that way. There's a verse that has a special place in my life, and it's, what profits a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's a wake-up call to me. It's like the Lord saying, get your priorities in order, Don. So what would any of us give for eternal life? What would you give for it? Anything that was required. We'd give everything we have for the promise of eternal life. We need also to see the greatness of our Lord. We need to see God's power, how he works things out on our benefit. When we pray, we make our needs known to the utmost strength and power in this universe. You're praying to a God who can move on your behalf. God gave us an example of his power in the fact that he raised Jesus from the dead. He'd been in the grave, dead 3 days, and he was raised to life again. God gives us life. Now, every now and again, it's cow story time. I have cows. Every now and then, one of my cows will die for no apparent reason. A while back, one of my mama cows gave birth to twins. Twins are not good in the cattle industry. And I'm watching these two calves to see if they're nursing, to see if they're bouncing around, showing life. But I make a trip down to the co-op and I buy a feeding bottle along with some colostrum, a mineral that they need. And next thing you have to do, you have to capture a calf to feed it. They don't come naturally to you. One of the twins is lethargic, not interested in the bottle or anything, but the other one is eager and ready to drink. All the while, Mama Cow sits there watching me to see if I'm taking care of her babies. The lethargic calf, it dies. I dig a hole, bury it. But the other cow seems to be responding to the bottle feeding. And I would feed this calf and then watch to see if it still would go to mama and nurse, because they need to nurse from their mama. And for a couple of weeks, things looked pretty good. But then all of a sudden, that calf withers. Oh, just withers within a day or so, and he dies. So I sadly dig another hole and bury that calf. And we can see life passing away in animals and feel sad. Many of us have pets. We had a dog named Moses. I named him Moses, wanted him to have a spiritual name. Moses was a black lab. He was a good dog, but he loved to wander the neighborhood. And he finally got old, got bad in the hips, and I took him to the vet, had the vet put him down. And that was sad. It's sad when we lose a good pet. And if we feel sadness over a pet or a calf dying, can you only imagine the pain that God the Father, seeing his only begotten Son being brutalized on a cross, suffering at the hands of sinful man and dying. Jesus died. God the Father heard Jesus cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Don't you know that broke the heart of God? But God's love for mankind prevents God from annihilating all human flesh right there. And it was necessary in the plan of God that Jesus to be our sacrifice, to die in our place. And that was the foreordained plan of God, that Jesus would die for us. Jesus, he died, buried in the tomb for full 3 days. Under Jewish customs, you had to be dead 3 days before you were declared officially dead. So he resurrected Jesus after 3 days in the tomb so that we, mankind, can live. Now, I was sad when my calves died. And to witness a large animal die, it's sort of dramatic. I have a cattleman who cuts my hay, and he's kind of my private vet. And he told me ahead of time, he said, you know, twins usually die when they get from a cow. But it's still sad to see life drain away from them in a large animal. But that's animals. Recently, within like the last 2 months, my older brother had a massive heart attack. My younger brother, who lives near him, found my brother and had to take his key, go into the house, and try to get him out of a chair. My brother, older brother, couldn't even get out of the chair. And so he called 911 for my brother, and he got medical help. But brother Billy, he died while the paramedics were there. Heart stopped. And they did the heart pressure test and all this, and they got him, his heart beating again, but he died again, or his heart stopped again on the way to the hospital. But through modern medical help, he has recovered, put a stent in his heart, and he's home now, and he's doing well. And I went to visit him in the hospital, and he asked me to pray for him. I had prayed for him already, and he asked me again, would you pray for me? So I prayed for him again before I left. The very next day, he had no recollection that I was even there. I said, oh, well. So what do? I take a cell phone with me the next time I go, and I take a picture of him and me together. Look at the picture, Brother Bill. I was here. And that was, I don't know if that was comfort or that was just me, probably just me. But a while back, you know, a couple years, I preached a sermon on death. Death of saints. And a fellow came up to me after this service and he told me how death is our ultimate enemy. And he spoke of his fear of death. And he had totally missed my point, how Jesus had overcome death for us. The Apostle Paul, he stated, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. I can't say I'm quite there. Still cling to this old life. But I had made a comment in my sermon, how we don't die, we simply change addresses. And I'm not a young man anymore, so I preach to myself. And I catch myself thinking more often today about the hereafter than I did a few years ago. And I've come to a conclusion. You want to hear this? Life is short. It's like a vapor of smoke, here one moment and gone the next. Take that one, put it on your refrigerator. But Jesus told us, he says, and he told his disciple, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And for us Christians, To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. What a wonderful promise. That's a true hope for all of us believers. But let me read again the last four verses of Ephesians 1. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What a great promise. Paul had it revealed to him by the Lord to talk about the hereafter. Paul talked about Jesus being resurrected from the Father, by the Father, from being dead. Jesus' body, dead in the grave, perhaps already decaying, yet God the Father brought him back to life. And he gave him life eternal, and he gives us life eternal. Our victory over death in the grave is demonstrated in the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him life. And all we can say to that is, thank you, Lord. We don't have to fear death or the grave. We go to be with the Lord. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, our biggest enemy, our biggest fear perhaps is death. Yet you overcome death, and we give you thanks for that. Thank you, Father, for raising your Son, your only begotten Son. You found it necessary that he be crucified and take on the sins of the world. But that was because you love man so much that you gave your only Son. So we give you thanks, Lord. As the Father, we give you thanks. Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross, suffering death, that we may live. What a great blessing we have to have eternal life. Our hope goes beyond the grave. Our hope goes to being with you, Lord. So we can see you and we can be with you and we can experience you in fullness, Lord. What a blessing that will be to know you personally, one-on-one, to speak with you as the disciples did so often, to have that fellowship with you in an intimate setting, Lord. We give you thanks. So thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to have your Son suffer, and then you raised him up. So we give you thanks. And we will always be eternally grateful for your goodness to us, Lord. And so we pray and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.